This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Bonjour, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, I think that's about the extent of my French with bonjour, and probably not even a good pronunciation. But I thought it was appropriate to start this episode, since this is called From Paris with Love. That is the city of love, and I certainly love it. It was wonderful. I had, in 2021, in the fall, during my birthday, celebrated over in France. Spent some time throughout the country, went on a wine cruise up the Rhone, but anyhow, ended up in Paris and got to visit with some friends and had just the most delightful time, and had an opportunity to sit down and chat with a few of my friends, which you're going to get the benefit of hearing parts of our conversation here in this episode. But before we begin our tour of France, I thought I would remind you that this is the one-year anniversary of the passing of Siegfried Fischbacher, better known as Siegfried of Siegfried and Roy fame, in Las Vegas, and also to let you know about a new podcast that has been released. The first two episodes of this 8-episode series was released yesterday, January the 12th. Let me just read a little bit about what it says. It's called Wild Things, Siegfried and Roy. It takes listeners behind the illusionist's acts to reveal details and moments from across their 50-year career. This podcast is narrated by award-winning journalist and filmmaker Stephen Leckert. According to Apple, the series will provide a first in-depth look at Siegfried and Roy's private lives and the story behind their personas. Leckert goes behind the curtain to uncover hidden truths about the two men who were lionized by, gotta be play a little words there, by millions of fans, criticized by animal welfare advocates, and lampooned by the media. While the podcast is associated with Apple TV Plus streaming platform, it is available to all and will not be hidden behind a login or paywall. Wild Things, Siegfried and Roy, is being produced by At Will Media, and the first two episodes, again, were released yesterday, January the 12th. The remaining 6 episodes will release every Wednesday following the premiere. I'll be recording an upcoming episode for the Magic Word podcast with Will Minotti, who is the founder and CEO of the At Will Media, that is the one who produced and worked with putting this together, and also with Stephen Leckert, who is the narrator and the person, the journalist behind the podcast. That's going to be coming up sometime soon. I wanted to wait until a few of the episodes have already been aired, so this way we can discuss some of the things without them saying, well, we don't want to give away spoilers. So we'll wait until a few of these have already been broadcast, so that way we can discuss some of the spoilers, perhaps, that are going to be in the podcast episodes. Again, I thought this was something of interest and of importance to our community, and I would invite you to go and take a listen. I've been fortunate, again, in talking with some of their people already, for them to have shared the first 3 episodes of that, and it's very well produced and has some interesting content that I think you will enjoy. And again, it's a limited series of a commitment of only 8 different episodes, which they are going to be going into a deep dive of the lives of Siegfried and Roy. Well, enough of that. Again, you can check it out through Apple on iTunes, or really, perhaps, as I understand it, you can download that through whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. All right. Well, let's move on across the pond all the way over to France and begin the Tour de France. To begin with, we had made plans to go to La Double Fond, which is where Alexandra Duvivier and her father, Dominique Duvivier, perform regularly and have been for, well, he's been there for decades. And anyhow, I had a chance to see their show. It was quite an interesting experience, since I, again, don't speak any French, and everything had taken place in French. And the show itself was in this little quaint place. It was a little kind of a cafe, and then you go downstairs, down the stone stairway. You feel like you're kind of stepping back in time, well, quite literally, because it has been there for so many years, and it's just a stone dungeon, basically, down there, seated about 50 people, and it was very tight, and we enjoyed the presentation by Dominique and his daughter, Alexandra, and then afterwards, we went back upstairs into the cafe, and while they were cleaning up and getting everything all picked up from their show, Alexandra came up, and Dominic as well, and I chatted with them briefly, and then turned on the recorder to speak with Alexandra. And she's delightful. If you haven't had a chance to meet her or see her, I would again recommend, as I always do, is to go to themagicwordpodcast.com, where we have additional information, more content, and you can see a video there where she was on Penn and Teller Foolus, as well as some other things that she has done. And spoiler alert, yes, she did fool Penn and Teller with her father's trick, which was called Cards in Bag, or CIB, and it's a great trick, very, very cool trick. I have that myself. In fact, he had gifted that to me since it was my birthday, and so I thank you very much, Dominique, and also a couple of DVDs that he had given me then as well. By the way, I think it's pretty important to mention that Trixie Bond was joining me on this conversation. She and her husband, Mark Axford, were along with Dick Olson, who is another magician from Houston, Texas here, and so we were all at La Double Fon. But Trixie joins me in the conversation we have then with Alexandra, and she's got a lot of really important things to discuss woman to woman, I guess. So I kind of stepped out of the way a little bit to let that conversation happen. I'm so glad that Trixie was there for this conversation that added so much more insight to our conversation. Really enjoyed the show, enjoyed the conversation, and I hope that you do then too. We're going to have three different conversations. The first is with Alexandra. Next, we then speak with David Stone. And David, during lockdown, had decided to go in a little bit different direction, thinking it might be best if he will redefine his character, basically. And he goes into a lot of detail about his personal life and what he did and why he did it. And my goodness, it has taken him in a completely new successful direction that has given him international notoriety with this new character that is called Kleck Entos. And Entos is an anagram of Stone, his last name. And Kleck, that's K-L-E-K, has performed on America's Got Talent as well as other Got Talent television shows around the world. And there again, the video, some of those videos are on the website at themagicwordpodcast.com. And one of the things also there is he talked about his son, baby, revealing a card. And he sent me that video and allowed me to share that. So that's also on there. It's very cute, about a 16-second video. You might want to download that and put it on your phone. It's just a cool revelation of a card, too. And then we wrap this up as we went to the Musée de la Magie. There again, I'm sure I bastardized that pronunciation as well, but it was the Magic Museum there in Paris, just not too far away from where La Double Fon was. So we went to Double Fon one evening on a Friday night, and then Saturday morning we had went to a little cafe where we got a chat with David Stone, and then after that, David took us over to the museum where he handed us off to Boris Wilde, and he took it from there. And so I got a chance to go through the museum, and I highly recommend if you get an opportunity to go to France, particularly to Paris, be sure to see La Double Fon and also to go to the museum. It has a lot of incredible artifacts there. And it is not quite a David Copperfield collection by any means, but it certainly has a lot of impressive things and a lot of what a lot of museums don't have, and that is a lot of hands-on kinds of things that you can operate and some illusions that are optical illusions and some other things you can twist and turn and push buttons. And they also have a live performer, and his name is Jerome Cadake. Boy, I'm mispronouncing that, I'm sure, again. His last name is spelled C-A-D-E-A-C. But Jerome was just a wonderful magician, and I wish I had more time to spend sitting down with him, and hopefully in the future I will return and get to do just that. Well, again, we just have three great conversations with three completely different magicians with different topics that are covered, and this is a great ride. So it's a little bit of a tour of Paris. Please join me for this little ride, beginning with Alexandra de Vivier, here on The Magic Word.
That's true.
We are here in Paris, France, with Alexandra de Vivier.
Hey, Scott! Yes, we're in Paris!
That's right. Last time you and I chatted on the podcast over here was back in Buffalo many years ago.
Exactly. Buffalo.
You're saying it right, not
Buffalo. Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to pronounce correctly. I love the American accent, but it's tough for me to just not to sound too Frenchy.
I'm here also then with Trixie Bond, another magician, female magician. Hello, Trixie.
Hey, Scott.
And also, you were just asking an interesting question. You were saying, because, well, we're here tonight, actually. Of course, your father only speaks French, and so he's not here with us right now. He was earlier, and had a fantastic show that we just saw. And we really enjoyed it. You had an interesting question. Go ahead, Trixie, ask again. You were saying?
I was asking, Alexandra, did your father share secrets with you? Did he teach you?
Yeah, in fact, at the beginning, you know, when I started magic, I was 15 years old, and I kept asking him, show me a trick, show me a trick. One day, he just gave me a book that he wrote in the 70s, and he said, okay, you want to learn tricks? Learn, work by yourself. So I worked by myself, and when he saw that, now he helped me, and he just... it helped me through my career. So yes, he explained him many tricks now, and we share everything. He has no secrets anymore for me. So that's a beautiful relationship.
Right. My dad said, go look it up.
He said the same thing.
Same thing to me.
Yeah, sure.
Go look it up.
It's a good attitude because it's build you. It makes you look for something, and you don't have everything, you know, already to, like, you know, food to go, trick to go.
Right.
You see what I mean? So it's a good school, I think.
Do you think that people today, now back then, Trixie, you and Alexander both did not have videotapes and DVDs and YouTube to study?
No internet.
And I've never seen another woman perform until I was 10 years old and saw Celeste Evans.
Celeste Evans. How about you?
For me, it was I never see a female magician performing until I was 15. And when I went to FISM, in 1988, I saw Lisa Mena, and she blew my mind. And she's a friend still, so I feel so lucky to have met her and that she made that click. So I was able to identify myself because I've only seen men doing magic, and it's tough for a lady to just try to say, I can do that too.
You know who the first magician Lisa Mena saw?
No.
Me.
C'est génial! I love that story! Oh la 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 la. Lisa is just such an inspiration.
Yeah,
you know, she's a beautiful lady. Yeah. She's clever, and she doesn't play on the fact that she's a female.
And
it was no big deal back then. I mean, it just fit in.
That's great. It's a circle, you know? I love it.
Yeah, she's wonderful, and she's from Texas also.
Texas, okay,
yeah, that's where
right.
She, yeah.
And you've done magic all your life long. Now that you have done a PhD, now you told me that you have a PhD.
A PhD, we both have, yeah.
Yeah, from
4F. 4F convention, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You have a master's, bachelor's? How many times you performed?
No, I've done once.
Just the master's,
bachelor's. I feel unlucky this time because it was my first time, then COVID.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And voilà, and now I'm going back in April 22, but it's not going to be the same, even if Obi will be still here his spirit, his energy. But, you know, it's another...
But it was a thrill for me to see you perform with your dad. It was so touching and fun. I didn't understand anything.
Completely
but
French,
but magic was the common thread there. The rice bowls were beautiful. And the cups and balls.
Right.
You know, we knew you were doing a prediction. I could understand a little bit of the
any card, any number.
Sure. And it was just, it was so much fun. I was so jealous you get to perform with your father.
But effectively, it's a luck, and I feel really fortunate to be able to work with him. But he thought from the beginning, you know, we started working together in 1999, and he had on his mind that he always tried to find the good partner. Because when you are two on stage, you can express so many much more things than when you're only one. So it matched when we worked together. And from 1999, we never stopped. So yes, and we just get along. We have the same way of thinking about magic, which is important. Because if we were just interesting in just, I am the best, I do this. No, I am the best, I do that. What is important for us is the show. The show must go on. The show is important, not us.
Exactly, and you were each other's other hand, which was so cool.
Well, and that allows us, because we are two, to do things that we can't do with only two hands. We have effectively two hands, but two different hands from two different bodies.
Right.
So that's challenges that we can't do when you're only one-to-one, one with yourself.
So what did you call that ending piece where you had the mannequin in between?
We call it Naomi because we give her a name, Naomi.
Naomi?
Naomi Campbell, Naomi Campbell, Naomi. Mm-hmm. Because she's so beautiful, you know, that we can't stop looking at her, and she's doing the trick. We are not doing it.
Right.
She is performing it. So, yeah, we had a dream like that, you know.
Very clever. And also, again, the interaction with the audience that, although we can't speak French and didn't understand
this. They were laughing.
That's the point. The interaction, it was the effect that you got to. It was not, and then it was a mystery then as well, but the journey was so much fun that we could tell everyone was engaged.
Yeah. You know what? I think that magic is only a mean of communication. So I happen to do magic, you happen to do magic, but it's by luck that we do magic. But the most important thing is just to have a good moment with the audience,
sure.
Just to make them forget the COVID thing, for instance. Mm-hmm. How cool.
Yeah.
Oh, too bad.
Exactly.
Well, it's to have fun together, to play together a game. I think that's so much important than the magic trick.
Yeah, I could tell you were totally, the audience was totally engaged with you and your dad and the repertoire between both of you. And the costume changes, good heavens, how many costume changes did
you have? Yes, you're running back and forth.
But you know, that's interesting to put colors.
And your father, too, had a costume change.
Yeah, voilà, I have to say that my dad changed his costume, which is really rare because he only dressed in black.
In black.
Yeah.
He and Max Maven.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, that's fun. You know, it's part of the show to have fun. So let's get dressed differently. That's part of the fun, yeah.
It was very funny the way he was dressed up in a jester's hat and different kinds of costumes were funny.
Yeah, my dad is that kind of people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just, you know, staying very poker face and having the most craziness costume on him. Outfits with Fury, I know. It's that's good. I like that.
I couldn't pick up a sense of humor, but it must be very dry.
Dry witty. My dad is really, like I said, poker face.
Okay.
And it's a match. We just, how do you say when you, he's very, he's a man, I'm a woman. We are, you know, we just
compliment each other.
Merci, compliment. Voilà, I don't know if it was working in English. Compliment, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a good duo like this.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Now, this is a wonderful venue you got here now with a bar. And is it a restaurant or just couture?
Yeah, in fact, you can have a dinner here because you can order a few days earlier. But we have a caterer and we eat like tapas food, but different thing, Frenchy, not Spanish, but a tapas thing
small,
like.
Small pieces.
Exactly.
Yeah, portions,
because we don't have the room enough to have a kitchen, so we have a caterer, and this is a way of having a dinner and then a show.
Well, it's a terrific venue, and I just loved seeing the room with people laughing, having a good time.
Right.
And
they're anxious to get back out here.
Oh my gosh, the whole world is anxious for this. The world does need your magic.
Oh, you're so nice. I wanted to say it in French, but merci, t'es gentil. It's really so nice from you. I just take it from a beautiful compliment.
So how long has this been open?
33 years.
No.
33 years. Wow.
Your dad has been doing magic here for 33 years?
Oui, exactly. My dad is doing magic since 1972.
Right here?
Right here. It never changed places here. But he had my dad is somebody who is completely dedicated to magic. He thinks, he knows for sure in his heart that magic is an art.
So
it has to be recognized like that.
I was watching the video prior to the show, and when you teach a magic class, and it's now recognized by the French government.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yes,
this is so cool.
Talk about that a little bit. Yeah.
Well, but this is such a proud, what would you say, proudness?
Yes.
Proudness. Because it took 5 years of work here, because, you know, paperwork here is very tough. But we are the first in France, but we are the first in the world to be able to give a diploma. Bac plus deux, so it's a 2-year diploma degree, which is great for the recognition of the art of magic. You know, now in France, you know that, of course, already, because David Copperfield and so many more in the States are just famous, you know, stars, but we don't have that here in France. So that's great to show that magic is serious, magic is a real job, and that you can live from being a magician.
Make a living from that, actually.
Exactly. So, exactly. Yep. Making a living from
it. Well, the United States doesn't even recognize magic as an art form for, say, Commission of the Arts in Texas. No. But we're working to change that.
I hope so.
So we recognize it as a true performing art, just like ballet. And
yes, ballet, what's my opera. It is an art.
Voilà, exactly. Mais bien sûr. Of course it is. Because that's
French
what my...
French are ahead of us.
The French are way ahead of us on that, yeah.
My dad always thought that magic is an art and should be recognized such as an art. So now we are very, very proud and very happy that finally, you know, in the land of Robert Houdin, we are the first to open a way, to open a field. So you can follow, everybody can follow, have a degree of being a magician. That's great. Everybody should have
and
that.
Have there been a lot of people who have been following and doing that?
Alors, for the moment, no, we are the only one in France, here at the Double Fond, the only one to do that.
Okay.
That's.
And you have a lot of other people now. It's not just you and your father who are performing here. And we just happened, by the way, we were here tonight because Boris Wilde was saying that Dominique was going to be here, so we want to make sure it's Friday night. Because you're here regularly, I guess, and then
yes,
others are...
Yes, of course. We have Boris. Boris, who is a close friend for many years. He's performing here. Yeah. Also, David Stone, Gaëtan Bloom, of course. Mm-hmm. I do shows all by myself, I am told now. And many more. So, yes, we have a team like this.
They're about like a 90-minute show, basically.
Ouais, c'est ça. 90-minute show, just like you say. And one of the best compliments I have been said after one of my show is, wow, but you are a comic. You're a comic. How do you say comedian?
A comic.
Comedian. Yeah.
Comedian, but stand-up comic. You know, stand-up comic.
Yeah, stand-up comic.
That's great, because yes, I do magic, but this is not my... I just want to say I'm a magician, you know, I just want to have fun and have a good time with people.
Well, you have a nice personality, nice smile, and you also, like a stand-up comedy, has different, what we call mugging, you're kind of with your faces and everything,
right.
So you have different looks and what you're doing, your stances, so that you have good body language.
When we are lucky enough, and you know what I mean, you know, to have people in front of us and not a screen in front of us, you know what I mean? That's great. That's golden nugget.
Right. Right.
Because, you know, they want to interact. I just push them so they can tell me things and I want to respond because it's so much fun.
I could tell she was playing off the audience.
Oh, sure.
She'd laugh and she'd say something.
Say something, the improvisational, right.
Even though I didn't understand what was going on.
They were enjoying it, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was going back and forth just so beautifully. Now, how long have you actually been performing here? If he's been doing it since the 70s, then when did you actually come and join this?
I started my first shows of... It was, you know, only one trick in the show of my dad, but we were not doing a duo yet. In 1991, 1993, like this. But I was, in fact, one of my handicap, if I can say so, is I am very shy.
No,
and yeah, when, right.
No, but I know, voila. When I say that now, I'm not, you can't believe me. It's not believable, but trust me. When I was beginning, I was blushing, saying hi to somebody was just a stress. Having an audience in front of me was just painful. Now, a spectator told me just going out of the show, he said, oh, you have just blown away because you have fun with the audience. And I said, yes, because now I'm not frightened by the audience anymore. For a long time, of course. But, you know, it took me years to practice, to experience.
Yep. You just mature with what you're doing magically, and then you work on the entertainment value.
Oh,
and
yes. That's
she's got it all.
That's true.
What appeals me the most, entertaining. Entertain.
Now, I noticed also, it looked like the videos they were showing to begin with, that you do a lot of things as far as like corporate training and things. So,
true. But I'm sure you do the same, you know.
We do.
Corporate is huge, like in the States, I mean.
Yeah.
So it's let's say 70% of our activity here at the Double Fond is with corporate events. So yeah, that's what I love about magic, is that you don't do twice the same thing, because you don't have the same audience anymore. And no, you do close up here, you do table hopping there, no, you do one-man show here, no, you do a lesson here because they want to learn some tricks. It's only different. And what I love about magic also is that art is an art that feed with other arts. So you just put in magic what you just want to express. So that's a beautiful art.
Sorry, I'm swallowing some of this delicious.
It's okay, I'm so sorry.
Avados?
No, Calvados.
Calvados, I like
made it. Made with apple.
Yeah.
It's a bit strong. It's a men's drink, and it's, women.
Well, I like it.
Good for this time of night.
Like it too.
And women like it too.
It makes some holes in the body. You're going
now,
to see well.
How about trade shows? They do a lot of trade shows and everything like we do in the
what?
States as far as.
What? Exactly.
We have convention centers in Paris.
We have.
I just wondered how active they hire magicians
to
here.
No table hopping at the end of the evening.
Like hospitality suites or nothing.
Yes, kind yes. Of, we do nearly exactly the same things.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. No very big difference. Except the audience. The American audience is the best in the world because you scream and shout and applause and. But here, we are very lucky too at the Double Fond because they come and see magic. So,
yes, I've heard that the French were reserved, but they were applauding and clapping. Well, that's the
same
thing.
They were very much
thing.
Into it, just like but you were at a comedy club.
Exactly.
They were,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw no difference.
No.
Here?
No.
Glad.
Again, it's like at the Magic Castle when people come to see magic, actually.
What?
They come with an expectation to, they know they're getting magic, as opposed to walking into a restaurant or going by a trade show. It's like people walking up to you or passing by saying, what's this guy doing? I think if they come here, they're expecting to have fun.
Well, besides the fact that you're completely right, Scott, but the thing is when you have corporates here, because it just privates all the Double Fond, they don't expect magic. So they come here, but they don't know where they are coming because the boss said, tonight it's here. So they have to follow the move. And that's the best audience because they don't want to see magic at first. And after they are saying, wow, this is crazy, this is fun. I didn't see magic like that. So that's...
I noticed also as people are leaving that they were given cards so this way that they can tag you and put it on Facebook and Twitter and other places, kind of, so that way you are big in social media to try to let people know about
but
it.
But you know, it's I'm my English is bad, and I didn't drink Calvad also. I am almost 50 years old, and I am a very hard time with social media, so I am forcing myself to just say Instagram. But for me, it's tough because this is not my generation, so I have to to fit and try to look young.
And you do. I think
she
she's
does.
Accomplished that.
Yes,
yeah.
She does. She's beautiful.
Young and beautiful. Yes, that's exactly
stop
right.
Stop it, Scott.
No, don't stop it, Scott. Thank you very much. It's a big pleasure having
now,
you all tonight.
Now, downstairs, this is interesting that we kind of walk through this, and going down the steps, it's like going into a dungeon or something, and once we're down there, it's like the gallery, the close-up
like
gallery at the castle.
Exactly right. It's, mm-hmm. it's like
got the lighting and the sound and everything. It's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a screen so we can see the close-ups when you don't see the index of the cards, and that's pretty handy.
And you've got a screen above the close-up table. How many people were seated in there this evening?
50.
50.
Not one more. 50 at the most.
Right.
It's a small.
And it seems like that, obviously, I guess, that it's booked all the time. I mean, people book in advance, and so this has been something that's been obviously ongoing and it's taken a while, but you have a clientele, which mostly are locals. They're not, since it is in French, you don't really advertise, I guess, like to the hotels and tourists who speak English.
We do that, but effectively it's a mix of audiences because we do have locals, like you said, but also we have people like in the south of France, like for vacation, they come in Paris, so they make maybe 600 kilometers. For you, I know it's nothing because everything is huge in the States, but for us,
it's across town in Houston.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but
the comments here.
Traffic's horrible. Traffic. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
This is crazy. I know. Yeah. And I apologize for that because this is a nightmare for us.
Yeah, I'm coming up to Champs-Élysées and the taxi driver, my goodness. I thought you were going to jump out of the window, Trixie.
Well, I was squeezed in between the two of you. How could I? But the other bicycles and the motor scooters were 2 inches from our taxi.
And beeping, and
cutting across 16 lanes and roundabouts, right?
Yeah, especially around the Arc de Triomphe.
So
Alexander,
do you live close here?
Oh, oui. I live I have 5 kilometers of highway. And I am in the very near suburbs of Paris. So I have a house with a garden, dogs. You can't have that in Paris. It's impossible.
Do you have children?
Two. My two most beautiful miracles on earth.
How old are they?
They are almost 13 and almost 10.
Now, so, you know, when I was young, my children... Well, they helped me do some shows, but never wanted to do this. How about yours?
Écoute, For the moment, I just leave them alone. And when they feel like asking me, I am here to respond. But I don't want to influence them like my dad done for me.
Right.
So I let them come if they want. But for the moment, they have some tricks, but they don't do shows. Huh?
That sucks.
You would say.
Yeah. I think my children's friends like that I do magic more than my own children.
That's right.
That's true. But my daughter, when I do magic, she says she's so proud of having a mother being a magician. So for the moment, she's 10, so that's why. It won't last long, but yeah.
Mine are 40, and now they really appreciate
that. As yours get older, I think they'll appreciate it more, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so.
I can't believe I was a child 40 years old, but... Between 40 and 37,
sometime is
well. Yeah. Same with me. You know, both my boys were interested in it, and my younger one actually was working then with Brian Brushwood as an intern for a while, and learned to do fire eating and all that. But they're like mine's 40 and 43 also.
So I have 6 grandchildren, another one on the way, and when the first one was born, I wanted the kids to call me Magie, which is magic in French. But no, I am Grandma. But they call me Grandma Magic. That's my name.
Grandma Magic.
That's nice.
So,
that's cute.
Oh, my. They should call me
You haven't thought about that yet, have you?
No. Stop that, Diana. I prefer when you were saying I was nice and beautiful.
And beautiful, well, you are.
Oh, no.
And young.
Change subject. No, not yet. It will come. But I have a little bit of time. Huh?
But you know, it's a thought process for women in the entertainment industry, correct? Because they don't want a 70-year-old lady performing.
That's why Lisa Mena is so smart.
She did the old lady.
Mamma Mia, yeah. Mamma Magic. Right. I think it is brilliant.
And now, you know, she's doing the... helping women in third world countries through magic.
Right. That's so Lisa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Lisa-like, because she's beautiful.
Lisa-like.
Lisa-like.
It is very Lisa-like.
Yeah. American speaking. Yeah, it's because she's a beautiful human being. And, you know, it's really her. And I really love her. I can't say more. I love you, Lisa.
So as far as the downstairs and preparing all this, this was something that, does your dad own this? Or
yes.
It's the okay.
He bought that 33 years ago. I don't know in English how you say, but he bought the walls and the thing to make the exploitation. I don't know. Okay. But we have it. We own it.
I was wondering about that, whether he owned it or leased it, actually, everything. Okay, so it's been that long.
Does
he live upstairs?
No.
Do you rent upstairs now?
It's not ours. Here, if you want to live, I mean, you should be millionaire. It's crazy. It's very expensive, this area. 30 years ago, it was, you know, nobody was there because it was not a fashion area. Now it's untouchable.
Does he own upstairs then?
No.
Oh, okay. So he just owns the downstairs.
We own that and we own the shop, Mayette Magie, which is the oldest shop in the world because some historian made some research, 1808. You don't look at me the same way now. Yeah, really true.
So that was the magic shop that we were thinking about a little bit earlier, one of the oldest magic. And that's on the street level or down below? Or where
No, it's on street level.
Okay,
it's
that's nearby?
Across the River Seine. Yeah. It's around Le Panthéon. Have you seen the Panthéon? Where you have very famous people buried. Panthéon is a big building, beautiful. Victor Hugo is there, of our many famous people.
Years ago.
Okay. Long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago. Yeah, yeah. We need to go back and watch.
It's very close from here. I will ask that we show you where it is, okay?
But the Museum of Magic is over near there, too?
Just across the corner. It's very we are neighbors.
We could walk.
Oui. Definitely.
But they're not open now.
It's Rue Saint-Paul. No, it's closed now.
Yeah.
Too late.
Yeah, we're going to be going tomorrow. I think Boris is taking us.
We're risking our lives in a taxi.
Again, yes, we are.
Oh, you can. It depends where you are, but yes.
We're staying near the Arc Trail at the Renaissance. Renaissance? Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So that's about a half hour or so drive through there.
Scott, I am so sorry. I have to clean up my things downstairs because I threw my things backstage and now it's a bit of a mess.
Well, she's got a ton of props to clean up.
Yes, she does.
And it was a beautiful show. It was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was such a blast having you. Thank you for your words.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Scott,
before you leave, the main of my podcast called The Magic Word Podcast. So what is your phrase? What is important to you? What's your philosophy of life?
My philosophy of life is just to enjoy, because life is very short, that you should share magic with the biggest amount of people, because we all need magic.
Yeah, we all need magic. That's true. Well, thank you, and thank your father, Dominique.
You.
We appreciate you coming and sharing your time and your magic and everything. It's just been fabulous. And so,
my pleasure.
Yeah, we'll see you again.
We'll meet again in April.
Yes, we will. Oh, well, maybe February.
Ah, February,
but,
yes.
We shouldn't say that.
Magic Castle.
Okay. Through the Magic Word Podcast.
Right.
That was Alexandre Duvivier. This is Scotty out.
Merci, merci.
Thank you, Alexandra, for your words and for taking the time to share your thoughts with us here on the Magic Word Podcast. And please express our appreciation to your father as well, and good luck for continued success with Le Double Fond. And I certainly recommend that when visitors go to Paris, they make it a point to go by Le Double Fond to see this amazing show. Even if you're not working there or your father's not working there, you have other people who are performing as well, like David Stone and Boris Wilde and others. And speaking of David Stone, let's continue our tour of Paris by going over to a quaint little bistro where we go inside and sit and have a delightful chat with David Stone, where he tells us about his new character, Clec Entos, which is quite interesting.
We are still in Paris right now, and we are here this morning with our friend David Stone. Hi there, David.
He's recording everything.
He's recording now. I just started recording.
Oh, the story for the chat.
Yeah.
So, let's start again.
So,
I raised a baby, my girlfriend's son, 20 years ago, and I didn't feel the need to have a baby on my own, because I was very busy traveling around the world, doing lectures and shows. And then after 20 years, I realized that everything I have built was slowly vanishing like sandcastle.
Yeah.
Everything, all my videos, even my best-selling videos, everything I've built, I was meeting young magicians in lectures who asked me, "Who are you?" And I used to be so famous before in the magic world, and now I feel like I am no one. So, except my book. So I said, I'm going to have a baby, and he will stay. He will be my legacy. That's totally selfish. But at least,
much more important to have something like that as a legacy. You know? Yeah, it will last then forever and generations.
Talk about the video he just showed, the baby.
Yeah. So, if you can send me a copy of that video of your baby doing a card trick, I'll put that on the page if that's okay.
Sure,
you'll allow me to do that.
Yeah.
You've got to see that. That is very cute. In which he has his. Those who are listening, I would suggest you go to the website. You can see this video. But essentially, where his baby, 18 months old.
Yeah. No, 13.
13 was. Selecting or pulling a playing card out of a deck of cards, out of a box, card box. So anyhow, David Stone has been my go-to episode. I've had over 650 episodes, David, of my podcast. And when people say, if I'm going to start with one episode that will get me hooked into listening to others, what would it be? And I continually say the one I did with David Stone, because I love you so much to begin with, but also what you were talking about was so important and life-changing, and what you were talking about, your life and how you had changed and what you had done and how you became who you are and everything. I just think I recommend people to go back and listen to that episode we did with you. It was probably, 2000? 14 or 15 or something. It's been a number, long number of years ago. But you haven't been to the States, obviously, for a couple of years. We haven't been doing anything. But are you planning on coming to a conventions or anything you got on the radar to come back to the U.S. soon?
Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah, I'm planning to be back. Get ready. I have more surprises.
Speaking of surprises, you were the one on AGT. Can we talk about that or not? Yes? America's Got Talent? Okay, now, okay. So the character that you had on America's Got Talent, those who were watching this, you were the person with, looked like the Invisible Man with the bandages and the sunglasses and everything. So people who may be listening to this saying, oh, that was David Stone, but it was. Why and how did you come up with that character? It's so different than what you normally do.
We don't really know why we created this character with my friend, J.B. Dumas, that you know J.B.? It's just like, it was in the middle of the pandemic. Everybody was a little bit scared by everything. It was a weird time, really a weird time. And then I think we have been influenced by this strange moment, and we decided to show that in our magic.
Yes.
And I wanted to see what makes me an artist, in fact. And I realized that after 20 years I was performing on stage, if you would only watch my hands, you would enjoy the magic without watching my face. So I was, we were thinking, what makes the identity of an artist and what makes the identity of a magician? If you don't see my face, if you don't see my feeling, if you don't see what I feel, would you be able to feel the magic anyway? That was the main question. And the other question was, could we make people think about their own fear? Because everybody around us was under fear. It was a weird period, weird time.
Very.
So we decided to use this to play with people's fear and to let them know, would you be able to cross over your own fear? Would you be able to, if I show you how to fight it? Because we realize that 95% of our fear never happened. 95% of what we are afraid of
never
will never happen in our life. But this paralyzes us. This stops us to reach our goals, to reach to move forward, to do some things sometimes, just because we think, can I go there? No, I'm not beautiful enough, I'm not well-dressed enough, I'm not good enough. And you will realize that, in fact, nobody cares about you, nobody cares about us. People care about themselves, which means that you can do whatever you want if you're not afraid and if you don't care. And that character play with my own fear. I am afraid of spider, I am afraid of snake. So we decided to play with all my own fear and to make people afraid of. And all that things all together created this character, in fact. And we have been inspired by plenty of people, but the most important was The Invisible Man, the movie from 1922. And then for the movement of the character, we have been inspired by the Halloween movie, Michael Myers, the character who always moves a lot, very slowly,
very slow.
Whatever happens around.
Right.
So we've been working on mentalism, but with a meaning. I mean, it's not easy to speak about it because it was like, you know, when you put some water on an aspirin and suddenly it creates...
It fizzes, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It was more like that. And everything was assembling itself after. And then when you look back, you realize that, wow, it's funny. It looks like everything was created from the very beginning. But in fact, it was just... So, here we are.
What was your intent in trying to create that act and be on America's Got Talent? Did you intend to go forward? Did you think you were going to win and each week you had a different idea? Or did you have things planned out each week what you were going to do?
When we created it?
Yes, yes.
We just thought about one thing at a time. Coffee for me.
Coffee and then cappuccino.
Cappuccino,
c'est pour tout le monde. Et l'allongé, c'est pour moi.
Pardon us for just a minute. We're just now getting served here, so.
Okay.
So you had plans to two or three things. I mean, each after they would advance you to do something different.
Yeah, and.
Like after the spider, there was to be something else.
After we create, after the first act, we realized that the character had a lot of success in France. We were very surprised by the success. We created that as a joke at the beginning. We were not thinking about it seriously. We had no idea it could be such a big.
Be accepted so much by the audience.
Yeah, right. Like 52 million views on Facebook.
Wow. On YouTube, that, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Have you gotten people contact you or businesses and say...
Oh, yeah, a lot of... that was...
But they don't know who you are. I mean,
I'm talking to... Look, there is a producer that just contacted me when you were talking to me. Bam, this is
a message
producer.
Already.
This is a producer from France, Montalais. They just called me right...
within the last few minutes.
It's
blowing up. It's going crazy.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger than us, so that's why we take our time to make it. Because the show, we are creating a show, and the show is not easy to build because the character doesn't speak. It's a voiceover.
Correct. Yes.
We have to. We think about a lot of things.
Kind of a scary horror voice, kind of a thing.
It could be boring. An hour long show with somebody
talking
not
forward.
Directly interacting with people. This is why we try to make a lot of different entertaining things in the act in the show. So far, we have built 5 acts. We have done Italia Got Talent. We're going to final of Italia Got Talent. We have done Romania Got Talent.
Well, Romania Got Talent.
Yeah.
Now, when you're working at Dublafon, like we were talking to Alexandra last night, do you do that show also?
No, because merci. This character is he works on stage, not in close up, and I think that. You have to see this character from far, not too close.
Too close, right.
Yeah. To be too close, you could lose... proximity sometimes might...
It's not good for magic. In particular, the Dublafon is more like the close-up gallery at the Magic Castle, very close.
Yeah,
it's not...
Yeah. And I think... We have done a lot of TV shows, we have done a lot of things. But the main idea is to build the 1 hour and 10 minute show based on this character. We don't know exactly what will be the story, but we already created
the character.
Of course, the whole story of the character. We know where he's coming from, why, who he loves, what he loves, blah blah blah. But now we have to figure out. The concept to make it entertaining for people.
Yeah, because you're going to have a voiceover kind of talking about what is happening.
I need another character. Mm-hmm. So we don't know if it's going to
female,
be...
Female? A lady character?
It could be a lady. It could be a funny guy. It could be a lady. Hmm. It could be a narrator.
A narrator. Yeah, there needs to be, I think, some sort of moment that will lighten the mood because it's so ominous and a very serious character. You need to have points in the show during 90 minutes for people to laugh.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they're going to applaud, but I think if there's a light moment that something happens where you drop it and you shrug or whatever, you know, just small moments, or it could be larger with a funny character, as you say.
Yes.
Or perhaps if you are developing the story line that you had this woman or whatever who was your sweetheart or, you know. So, yeah, there are different directions you can go with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And... I suppose that it will be, I will have a clearer idea at the beginning of next year, when all the acts will be, when most of the acts will be finished. Because after, it will be easier to create a connection between the acts.
Do you think, coming back to magic conventions in the U.S. and abroad, will you be taking this act to perform on stage?
That could be possible, yeah, that could be possible. So far, we're working in corporate shows.
Yeah.
And we're trying to see what is easy to do, what is not, because of the voiceover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I suppose that after a while we will be able to do this. Yes, I think so. We could do it.
Because you could, I mean, people are expecting to have the funny David Stone. Everything you're doing with the card and your between your toes and different things you do on stage.
Say, yeah,
but this is so much different.
This is so relaxing.
Yeah.
To not have to make up, just to put a mask and shut up,
yeah,
and perform. What is funny is that in 20 years of performing magic around the world, I have had two main press covers, you know, press talking about you in
yeah.
France. I had two.
Covers? Magazine covers?
National covers.
Okay.
Two,
wow.
As David Stone in France. I don't speak about magic magazines.
It's because of your acting?
About
of acting?
Main magazines in
yeah.
France.
Mm-hmm.
I had only two press national covers, not cover, but people talking about you in newspaper.
Okay.
And Kleck, this character, had over 52 worldwide
wow.
in 1 month and a half.
Wow.
In Thailand, in Ukraine, in Russia, in the United States,
wow.
in England, in Japan,
mm-hmm.
it's crazy, 52. So it means that to be famous, I just had to cover my face and shut up.
There's a lesson to be learned for magicians in there somewhere. Do not talk so much and cover your face.
Talking, it was just a universal performance, and everyone understands it. Is that right?
Maybe that's right. Yeah.
Because of the cross cultures, could you do this show in Dublafond? Would that
no,
be a good
because it's too
big.
Small. For sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's really something on stage. All the acts we have created need space. They need space, so that's why we. It's, and besides that, the character is more impressive when you see him from far. And also, he's very scary. When you have him very close to you, it's impressive, very impressive. Because the energy, the mask. So people might be, the interaction is not real because people are distracted by the mask. Moving by itself, you know, people are impressed, some others are, you know, so I think it's better for people to see this kind of act and to know that they feel safe. Oh, the guy is not that close to me. I can react normally,
oh.
I can speak to my friend.
Yes.
Okay, the guy is not that far. Sometimes he will cross the audience, but when you cross the audience and he will choose someone, you. And then people will be, oh, I'm happy he did not pick me up.
Yeah.
But they're uncomfortable, too.
It might.
And we're all trained.
Because you don't see the reaction. So sometimes people might be uncomfortable. That's why it's better to see him on stage and you to be in the audience.
Well, with the acceptance that you've had in newspapers and coverage that you've had worldwide, are you going to develop that character more and do less of your comedy and what you've been doing?
Well,
I mean, it seems like they love that.
I spend working on both, except 70% of my time is working for this character, and the rest is for my own magic. But I make a real difference between my way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like kind of schizophrenia, you know. It's very. So when I work on David Stone, I really definitely think like normal. And when I work on Click, I definitely use my dark side or some...
Yeah, creative side, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what about the name Click? What does that mean, or how did that come from?
Click?
Yeah.
Click, it's Clecksographia. The Clecksographia is the art of making ink blots with ink.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's called Clecksographia.
Yeah.
It's...
we call that... what's the ink blot test? The
psychological thing.
Yeah, Rorschach. The Rorschach.
Rorschach test, you know. But Rorschach was Rorschach's surname when he was a child was Klecks.
Oh.
And Klecks in German means stain or ink blot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we decided to. To use that because the first act was using ink and ink blot.
Right.
So we decided, and I think that Click is a name you can use everywhere in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why we try to find something common that everybody could easily pronounce.
One last thing I was going to ask you, and that has to do with where you've been performing, talk about worldwide. Is there some place that you have performed or some place you or show you've enjoyed more than others? In the world, I mean, as you travel and perform, as David Stone or as Click?
As David Stone? Yeah. Oh, yeah. England and America are my favorite. England, because I don't know why, but the English people love my rude humor sometimes. And America, because they love my polite humor. when I cancel the bad... it's funny because I do exactly the same thing that I do in England, except I remove the bad words, and it works the same.
You're not doing any movies anymore?
I had no time for that. No, only because a movie asks you so much time. A casting asks you 1 week. One casting needs one week
to
practice
prepare.
Or rehearsal. So it takes too much time, and I have no time for that to do so far, except if someone calls me, I don't have time to look for.
Right. All right. Well, since you're kind of changing characters, when we talked before, of course, the name of my podcast, called The Magic Word, what is your philosophy of life? What do you live by now? What's important to you? I mean, you have a child, a couple of children then now, and as well as a new direction of your career. So what's important?
Click was it's funny because Click was born at the same time as my kid. So it's funny, and I wrote some of the craziest things while holding my baby.
A new birth.
Which
new birth.
Is very funny.
Yeah.
I was holding the baby at the clinic, and I was working my best act with Click, the act with the bird. If you haven't seen it, this is 52 or 55 million views on Facebook, so with the bird. And it was funny to write it while holding the baby. And I think I have been inspired by that situation. I think my a lot of things have changed. I'm playing with it's fun.
I mean, yes.
with
as you're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since the baby, my life have changed, of course, but my priority has changed, not my life. My priority, and
it's your family now.
What I say, my wife. It's okay. Before, I had to work a lot of magic for myself. Now I have to work a lot of magic to feed the kid.
I love it. David, thanks very much. So wonderful to see you again. So until next time, I was David Stone here in Paris. Scotty out.
Thank you, David. It was great catching up with you there in your home base. I've always discussed great things with you when you've been over here in the U.S., and so it's good to actually see you in your natural habitat there in Paris, France. It was delightful. I enjoyed having a cup of coffee with you, and thank you for your thoughts. And you're always one of my favorite podcast guests. In fact, when people do ask about how to get started with the Magic Word Podcast, I always point them to the first conversation that you and I had, which was called Trust Yourself. And anyhow, recommend that. If you've not heard that, listeners, go back in the archives, find that one. It's great. Wonderful conversation with David Stone. Anyhow, so let's move on down the street where we are going to next talk with Boris Wild down in the cellar, I should say, dungeon or in the cave. Basically, it's down below ground in this carved out cavern, if you will, where there are delights of the magical universe that we got to see that were surrounding us as we had a chat there in the Musée de la Magie. I hope I got that pronounced correct. Anyhow, it was the Magic Museum there in Paris. Let's join Boris right now.
Well, what trip to Paris would be complete if we didn't talk with Boris Wild? And here he is now. Hey, Boris. Good
to see
you.
Bonjour, Scott.
Bonjour. It's so good. Boy, can you hear that echo? We're here in a cave. We're down in the Musée de Magie. Tell me, is that it?
Exactly. Oui, le Musée de la Magie à Paris.
And it has a lot of the artifacts from whose collection again?
So, yeah, Georges Proust is the owner here of the Académie de Magie and the Museum of Magic. So, close friends from David Copperfield, and also was close friend from Christian Fechner. And now they have, like, wonderful exhibits here and like, artifacts, props, you know, that you can only see here.
And there is also a magic show that we have with Jerome, who is doing four or five shows a day.
Yeah, exactly. Jerome Cadillac is the one here doing, is the resident magician performing. So, maybe you can hear clapping here.
Clapping,
just like performing now. And yes, I mean, you may have seen him at the castle already. And yes, he's the one here entertaining the crowd.
Now, one of the things, by the way, that you've got that's a new thing that has just come out is your variations, which would be the perfect Christmas gift for magicians. Tell us a little bit about what's in that.
Yeah, I just, yeah, came up with this book, released this new book, published it. It's, well, during the pandemic, I started to watch videos and read books that I wanted to study a little more because I didn't have the time before. And then, yes, I said, well, I love those routines and I would like to create personal variations of them. And it was 1, 2, 3, 4, and it basically were like, you know, 7. And what I thought would be like a lecture notes for a new lecture became like a small book. And now I'm touring the... France with the new lecture just to promote the book and show right. The material from it.
Well, I know, like, the first book I had called Variations was Earl Nelson, had a lot
exactly.
of really good.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do a variation revisited. I just, yeah, it just made sense to me, even if I know, of course, that, you know, variations.
Are the variations on your own effects or others? Or
other effects, yes, okay. Exactly. So, yes, nothing to do, of course, with Earl Nelson. But, yeah, no, it was just making sense. I mean, that's, we call a cat a cat. So, which is like, there are variations, personal variations, so that's why I chose that name, and also because it was the name of the lecture. So,
and when you are lecturing, have you been doing physical lectures? I assume Zoom things or what?
Yes, yes. I've been starting doing physical lectures with that new lecture here since mm-hmm. September, which is great, and doing shows again in Paris at the Double Fond for Crescendo, so that was good. And yeah, hoping to tour, of course, with variations even more in France and abroad.
And your show Crescendo ran for 2 months here at Double Fond?
Crescendo, I started in July again when we were allowed to, of course, perform live. And yeah, I've been doing it like pretty much like once a month. And now I got like more dates in 2022 until summer, August 2022. So if you're in Paris, you can check the schedule of the Double Fond. I'm just there once a month with other performers like David Stone and Laurent Beretta. So we just, you know, move from one to another every week.
And you're looking forward, I guess, to everything opening up again and coming back to the United States and seeing us.
Absolutely, yeah. Now that the U.S. borders are reopened finally to us, yes, this is our chance to come back and just see my friends and tour and go to all those wonderful places. You have, of course, the castle and House of Cards and... Yes, can't wait.
Have you been to the Magic Lounge in Chicago?
Yes, I did Chicago Magic Lounge also, yes. It was great. I mean, yes. I mean, the club they have, like the 654 Club, is just perfect because for close-up it's the right size. Super warm crowd. Yeah, really liked it.
And they have a lot of room there also, whereas like in Le Du Buffon, there were 50 of us. I felt like we were crammed in there.
Yes, exactly, yes. It's a really small theater, but I really like the... There is something about that room at Le Du Buffon that it's hard to say why this room is special, but every single performer was performed there, yes. I published something on Facebook recently when I did my show, and Paul Gertner commented, and Paul was... performed at the Du Buffon in the past, and he is like, I'm so jealous that you're there performing, because I remember like all the, you know, the applause clapping and bouncing yes. And on those walls, and it's very warm and people are like really like all together. It's just, there is something really special about that room that we all love. It's
it's kind of like the castle, the gallery, but there are more people in there, and you're also like in a dungeon. You're in a cave. You're
exactly.
Down there.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. You go downstairs. There's
with the nice
mystery.
Camera with the.
Yes, yeah. I think it adds mystery when you have to go downstairs and you see all these the walls with the big stones and everything, and they got this camera, so you can see, you know, live. You don't really need it, but yes, you can still have this, you know, for like.
As long as you're not claustrophobic. I would imagine some people are worried about small spaces, and it's like if there's a fire, you got one way out. I mean, you know, don't worry about that.
No. I think, yeah, people just go there because, yes, they want to be entertained. That's the perfect place, I think, in Paris if you want to see magic, to be entertained, just right. Like here.
So over the past year and a half, what have you been up to? What have you been doing then?
Well, mostly, I mean, I did lots of Zoom lectures and some shows also, not like solo shows, but like, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes, you know, like the Monday Night Magic and the Castle, a few other ones. Also in Europe, lecturing was great, doing like, you know, private sessions also. Writing my book and working on the new lecture. That was quite some work to do. And yeah, just doing things that, you know, I was always wanted to do in the past, but I had no time because I was like taking a flight every five, 6 weeks. Yeah. And then finally you're stuck at home. You're like, hey, I've been wanting to do that home for like a long time. Let's do that. Let's do a little painting here, a little thing there, a little home improvement at the same time. But yeah, keeping busy with magic was most important.
And coming up this year, of course, you're going to be going to Quebec for the FISMS. It's going to be 22, and was exactly. That August? What are the dates?
July, yes, the end of July 2022. I will definitely be there in Quebec for FISM. I've not missed any FISM since 88, except for one when it was Japan 94. But FISM is, yes, yeah. You have to go to FISM.
When we were talking earlier, if you listened to an earlier episode we'd done with Morrison, talking about the jury and what it is that people are looking for as far as judging, if you're interested in competing. But you're the head of the jury, is that right?
I was head of the jury at FISM 2009 Beijing, and then I was like member of the of course the jury also a little before, and since then, since I'm official judge at FISM, I've been judging lots of competition also for continental FISM, like I did FISM Oceania when I was in Melbourne, and also here, like last week, there was also like a regional competition to be qualified for the French national championship, and of course they also need FISM qualified judges or official FISM judges. Mm-hmm. So I was there with Domenico Dante, president of FISM, and Andrea Bayoni, president of FISM Europe, and Peter Dean, which is a vice president of FISM. So it was just like a very high level of...
Now that we're getting out of this COVID pandemic situation, what's the most exciting thing you're looking forward to doing then right now?
Traveling. I mean, I've really missed traveling because it's, as I said, I mean, taking... flights all the time, and no, you can't. I mean, that was
but you're going to be having your fiance move over soon.
Yes, exactly.
As soon as she goes, you're going to travel. What's the deal?
We're going to travel together, and we're going to go back to the U.S. together because it's she's going to Tiffany is going to move here.
Tiffany has an act of the Georgia Wonder, which is Georgia Bank.
Exactly. Bankhead. Yes. So Tiffany is having the Georgia Wonder here. So again, she's also looking forward to do it again, like in more normal conditions than in the past, obviously due to the nature of the act and COVID, of course. But she's done it already, and she's going. I'm sure the people in Europe will be thrilled because it's an act that no one has really seen for like over 100 years, and she has recreated and updated it and make it like more modern for the 21st century. And this is something I look forward to. She's going to be in a festival in Belgium in March when she's over here already, and hopefully it's going to be the beginning of.
Is she going to maintain her name of Tiffany Allen?
It will depend on maybe some future personal events soon. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Okay, we're going to head out, go have some coffee. We just finished up over here at the museum. It's wonderful. And I wanted to ask just quickly, of course, you know, it's the Call of the Magic Word. What is your philosophy? What is going into this new phase of your life? What's important to you? What's your magic word, you know?
My magic word or would
phrase.
Be, phrase would be, I would say, find the enjoyment. I mean, I don't know if I can say find the enjoyment again. I mean, enjoy again everything that we used to enjoy in the past. And that was, you know, we consider this as normal, and now we just realize it was not. So now, don't take anything for granted. Nothing is normal. Just enjoy every moment you can, and we are going to enjoy even more what we're going to achieve in the future all together.
Because we can appreciate where we've been. We can really, exactly.
Exactly. You said much better than me in English, but that's exactly the meaning.
Of course, thank you very much. Always wonderful to see you, my friend. And thank you for celebrating my birthday over here.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's tomorrow's birthday.
Tomorrow, that's right.
It's your birthday. Joyeux anniversaire, Scott.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Boris Weil from the Musée des Magies.
Oui, in Paris.
In Paris. This is Scotty out. Excellent.
Thank you, Boris, for being our guest again here on the Magic Word Podcast. You're one of my favorite guests. I always love to chat with you whenever we have the opportunity. Thank you, my friend, so much for joining us again and for sharing your ideas. And I think this is a great way of completing our round trip of Paris with some of the finest magicians they have to offer. And if you have an opportunity to go over to themagicwordpodcast.com, there you can see some videos of these three fine magicians, and be sure and check them out if you have not watch them perform before. I think that you will enjoy that. And speaking of videos, I also want to thank each and every one of you, particularly my 1,000 people who have now subscribed to the Magic Words YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Texas Magician. If you have not yet subscribed, you can, and I appreciate every subscriber. And we have just reached the 1,000 mark during this past week, and so that's just great news. So yahoo! Maybe we might get to this point where we can monetize our channel after all at some point. Well, anyhow, thank you guys again, each of you who have subscribed. And please tell your friends about this podcast. If you haven't spoken to your club and they don't know about this, be sure to share the magic word, share the word with them. So that way we get a few more subscribers and people who are interested in following this podcast then as well. We've got well over 650 episodes. And next week, by the way, we're going to be going to Columbus, Ohio to the Magi Fest. And so there will not be an episode released on Thursday as normal, but it will be coming out maybe Thursday, but it's going to be later in the day or perhaps early the next morning on Friday, because as we get into the convention, as we always do, we give daily updates to the convention. And so if you are not attending the convention, this is the next best thing to kind of listen to what's been happening each day as we talk with some of the organizers, the talent, the registrants, the dealers, and just get the general ambiance of what it's like actually to attend the convention. So that'll be next week from Columbus, Ohio, the Magi Fest. And so if you haven't subscribed to the pod letter, if you go to themagicwordpodcast.com, you'll see an opportunity there where you can subscribe to that, and that way you can get more information as to what's coming up from week to week, and also some suggestions from the archives on some podcasts you may have missed, some of those episodes. Well, this has been a little bit longer than usual, but we've had three fabulous guests, and I want to thank again, my guest Alexandra Duvivier, and also David Stone and Boris Weil. Thank you guys very much for joining us. And so until next week, stay well, get booked. And I want to leave you with a few different thoughts. One is to identify your priorities. Also, don't take anything for granted, but enjoy every moment that you can, because life is short. So you should share the magic with everyone, because we all need magic. This is Scotty out.